I think we're prone, given the historical record, to think that it's defeat above all that unleashes crisis in a defeated country. We think of the role that defeat in the First World War would have in ushering in the Nazi movement in Germany. Paradoxically, victory could also have such effects as in the case of Italy. At the Versailles negotiations, Italy felt that it was cheated. Though it was officially on the side of the victors, Italy was denied the territorial gains that had been promised by the sometimes cynical diplomacy of the Western Allies. And thus, as Italians left the negotiations, their nationalists denounced what they called the mutilated peace of Versailles. The sacrifices of so many lives, it seemed, might have been for naught. And thus, the aftermath of the war would bring post-war turmoil for Italy. This turmoil included workers' strikes, rural unrest, unstable governments, and the growth of a communist movement as well that alarmed the established elites. The organization of veteran paramilitary groups resembling the Freikorps in Germany now took to the streets in order to do battle in a virtual civil war resembling that of Germany. At the same time, there was a certain drama to this street theater of violence, one which created an aura around conflict and the notion that direct results could be achieved by direct action. In 1919, a particular media event took place which would further accentuate and underline this mystique. The romantic poet Gabriel D'Annunzio led a raid that captured the contested port of Trieste, which Italy had demanded, in protest at the outcome of the war. What this seemed to indicate was that direct action could produce results, and Mussolini was envious of D'Annunzio and resolved to take direct action himself. This is a recurring point we'll see in our lectures, that the leaders and the dictators, the despots we describe in our lectures, were often not acting in a vacuum, but rather had particular models, whether more remote in time or close in time, that they were following. Mussolini would now seek to stage manage a myth of his own. That myth, involving the stage managed, orchestrated movement of masses of people, another recurring theme, was to be the March on Rome, which would in turn be imitated by dictators or would-be dictators like Hitler in the years to come. Mussolini sought to use the post-war turmoil in Italy as the staging ground for his new political movement, which would fuse nationalism, which had been revealed as such a potent force in the First World War, with some revolutionary ideas and some relics of his socialist career. The fascist movement presented itself as a safeguard above all against communist revolution and thus could win adherence from the more conservative middle classes or the aristocracy and other established elites. In spite of this trumpeted announcement of opposition to the communist model of the future, however, in person, Mussolini was a little bit more ambivalent. He could on occasion express his clear admiration for the communists and what they had achieved in terms of new politics. Mussolini in particular expressed his admiration for Vladimir Ilyich Lenin of the Soviet Union as a man who he said was an artist who used human beings as his material in forming a new world, clearly something he wanted to emulate. We will see how precisely such publicly announced opposition of one ideological movement for another in the 20th century could benefit both sides, producing perversely a kind of linkage between ideological mortal enemies who gained in dynamism by claiming to oppose another ideological movement. The analyst of crowds and crowd psychology, whom we'd mentioned in our very first lecture, Elias Canetti, had pointed out that any crowd could gain energy by opposing another crowd and vice versa, leading to a complicated dialectical process in which one crowd fed off the other for its dynamism. Mussolini had a potent symbol for the dynamism of his movement, the black-shirted squads, the fascists. The fascist movement began in March 1919 in Milan, officially. It took its name from the particular combat squads which Mussolini had gathered, known as the Fasci di Combattimento.